Hello there, welcome to the Media Labs podcast here at Media Labs HQ. This week we have with us, I'm Jim Hope. You are?
Bartosz Kacz.
Chris Smith.
Carl Hugh.
And we're going to be talking about the World Wide Web, or really the fact it's, 30 years old now?
30 years old yesterday.
Yeah. God bless Tim Berners-Lee. Who wants to start off?
I'm surprised that when I was 2 years old, I didn't hear about it.
Not the only one, actually. I was reading the article, was it yesterday? I think it was in The Guardian. I didn't realise it'd come out 6 months after I'd been born.
So it was 6 months.
Yeah, and it was like, wow, okay. So this has been around less time than I have.
That does make me feel like the baby of the couch.
And for me, it feels like I'm a child of a web, really, because we're like a first generation.
Yeah, but you actually two don't even remember dial-up, do you? The random noises your computer used to make every time you want to use it.
I was born 97, so no.
I do remember, even before my house had the landline feed, I remember trying to access the internet on a computer that couldn't access the internet at all. No, just typing into Internet Explorer, which was the bee's knees at the time. How days have changed. Okie dokie. So, Tim Berners-Lee, we know a fair bit about. He's
vaguely,
the inventor of the World Wide Web. Worked at CERN, where he invented this invented the World Wide Web as a way to let researchers and institutions communicate with each other.
I didn't know he worked at CERN. That's a new fact.
Learned something new today. Good thing to be at Uniport.
I bet he didn't realise how far his invention will go, would he?
No, I think when in the article I was reading, he mentioned that he didn't.
He only made it for academics.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would have, guessed.
At that point, it was like a DOS.
Yeah.
It was DOS when you were using the internet, and now we've gone from that to
video
user interfaces, videos. We've got social networks and things like that.
It's just like Apple now. It's going to be, where's that going to be in 10, 20 years? We have no idea until we get there, do we?
Yeah.
So I think the web especially is something madly unique, because I don't think anybody could have, what it was created for to what it is now, it's two different things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, just like the internet and the web, completely different things. Something that I found absolutely hilarious, some of the newspapers going, it's 30 years since the internet was invented, and you're sat there going, the internet's been around since the 60s.
To be fair, as a generalisation, it makes most sense, but it's only until you get in and learn about the differences that you actually start to realise that the internet is actually different from the World Wide Web, but, it's common mistakes.
For those of you listening or watching, the internet is the bits that, the cables that connect computers all over the world to each other. The web is what we use to access the internet.
On the Guardian article you were talking about, he was talking about how proud of his invention and all that, and what he thought he'd become of it. And I just want to pull up on the idea that he said something about along the lines of what he didn't like about the internet, and I just wanted to see what you thought. I think it was something about basic gist was he wasn't happy with things being overpriced, things that should cost you 500 quid only costing you 50 grand or whatever. I think it was something like, and he doesn't like the darker side of it, so your crime and your scamming and your terrorist sites and all that. But I just want to see what do you think of the internet now in its current state?
Well, do you think I may pick up, I think when internet exploded, it was pretty much like a Wild West. There was no laws, no rules, anyone could do whatever he wanted. And now we get into a point where a lot of different governments, individuals, corporation, whatever, are trying to get the piece of it, control it. And it's a bit scary, really. It might be even more scary than the fact that it was all kept loose.
Yeah, especially when you see like Egypt a couple of years ago shutting down their whole internet to stop people from talking to each other on Twitter when there were things, political unrest, we should say, at the time. That is terrifying. The same could happen here. One phone call to GCHQ and Miss May has decided that's it, no more internet.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. So what do you think? Do you think the internet has been a positive thing or a majority negative thing?
Well, for me personally, the internet has been positive because I do like my social media.
Yeah.
Which some people obviously don't like. For the crime side of things and that, it does have a knock-on effect to the crime.
Yeah.
But it can't be like, it can't.
You kind of got to have one without the other.
Yeah, there's no.
You can't blame the internet for that.
No,
it's the way crime. People have used a tool. Because the internet is a tool at the end of the day.
Well, as a civilization, we can turn everything into a weapon, right?
That is true, yeah. No, but you know, on your thing of people banning the internet, did you hear, it must have been like 6 months to a year ago now, but did you hear that in China, fun fact, that you're not allowed to post pictures of Winnie the Pooh?
Oh, right, okay.
Because, as you know, China's a bit of still a communist dictatorship, and I think it was protest groups were liking, I forget his name now, the Chinese leader, to pictures of Winnie the Pooh. to give them the credit, I can see where they're coming from. And he basically got so fed up of it that images in China of Winnie the Pooh are banned.
Oh, right, okay.
And I believe some of them are potentially jailable offence. China.
Yeah, okay. Milne must love that.
Yeah. So, if you ever want to protest at China, post a picture of Winnie the Pooh.
Just going back to that, the things that are wrong with the internet. One of the things I agreed with in the Guardian article was the DNS. I don't know if you've come across this. The domain name service. You kind of hinted at it with the prices of things.
Yeah.
I own a few websites. One of them being, one of us, we own medialabs.uk. Go check it out, buy your tickets, all that type of thing.
We're desperate.
No shameless plug there at all. So one of the things that I don't like is that the internet was meant to be something for everybody.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to create a web space and have people come to it, it was access to all. But everybody's locked out. So they brought out all these new domain ends, so the top level domains, so .club, .whatever.
Yeah.
But for a personal ending to a domain that's really simple, like .me or whatever it is, that's going to set you back 50-odd quid. For somebody's personal website, I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Because what did ours cost?
Ours cost 7 quid.
7 quid. Which, for a domain, is incredibly cheap, I'd say.
It's only 7 quid for like a year.
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah. Still some people are paying, 50 plus, and some people pay like 50 grand, don't they, or something stupid for really, really fancy stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think if you're going to have to pay for it, which I'm not sure you should, but then again, the world's a business, so people make money.
Yeah.
7 quid's probably the price you should be. They should all be, really, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it should be a set price. I understand that certain things should be slightly higher to discourage people from using them, like .xxx and things like that, especially with laws coming in later in this year. But there should be a set of standard top-level domains, like, say, for instance, .me or .whatever, for personal use that are free to access.
I think, .national, so .co.uk, .de, .fr, I think they should be free, because I don't see them as personalised things, I see them as national. I think they should be free, because they're national,
Or maybe have a tier system, so personal use is free, and anything above that.
yeah.
isn't. So you have businesses, small to medium businesses pay one price, large businesses pay another, and enterprises pay another. I think that would have been a fairer option.
Yeah.
But for that free option, you have a limited choice of domains.
Right, but what people do right now is they register domains, mm-hmm. they buy them.
Keep them.
Yeah, to keep them and hoping to resell them for a way higher price, mm-hmm. right? So what do you do with people who already got domains?
Well, that was
it's really difficult mm-hmm. to, you know, to find the solutions for that because, like I said before, we already passed the Wide West
yeah.
period. So, and even if we're giving away domains for free, that should be some kind of control over it because people eventually will find a way to abuse it.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, that was... Yeah, well, that was the thing with ours, wasn't it? That I think, what was it, one of our first names we looked at was that somebody had bought the domain and they were trying to charge us 3 times the price for yeah. it. It's, and then we just decided to change our name for 7 quid. Which I think that is... It's almost daylight robbery, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You're always going to get people out there doing that. It'd be nice if there were Robin Hoods out there that stood in from the rich and giving it to the poor.
I'd love free money.
Oh,
I think
we can't really talk about the internet and the World Wide Web without discussing some of the services on there. So some of the most prevalent at the moment would be the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, that type of thing, and YouTube.
YouTube's huge.
YouTube is it too big for its boots though?
I think it's generation.
YouTube has gotten it's now no longer the crazy three come look at us. It's now a grown up institute. Mm. And you kind of got to sit there and say, well, it has to be a grown up institute.
Doesn't YouTube like generate like most of the traffic on the web?
Yeah.
I think it does.
Which is a scary thought really. You've got one video platform. Which has basically become the next big broadcaster really, hasn't it?
But
it's like news television.
Mm-hmm. You use a lot of socials and you two are socials yeah. people. I'm not.
I'm not really.
But you're more than me, aren't you? But
I would say I'm not using the mainstream social media.
No, but so how would you say that the socials have impacted the World Wide Web? Because even to me, as not a social person, it's a massive impact.
Oh yeah, it's a massive impact in a massive industry. But I think it's led to trolls everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain image boards and things like that that will go unnamed where this kind of started out from. But I think then once they started there and kind of progressed over to social media, from there it took over the rest of the web. So
yeah.
you've now got, as you were discussing last week, Brie Larson.
Yeah.
Before her film, the Captain America Marvel film even, was released, people were boycotting, trying to get people to boycott the film before it was even released, giving it bad reviews before it was even released.
Yep.
Which shouldn't even be possible on these platforms.
For
but that's
essentially, it was fake news.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, thank you for reminding me, is social media and fake news. I mean, that's another thing that's kind of...
So what
people were being given tool to create whatever they want, but it's getting out of control. So we still... I'll get back to what I said. We're struggling between lack of control and control, right?
Where do you get that balance?
So what do you think? Because I know you're obviously... I think out of the four of us, you're the most social person.
Social media is... Obviously, I think it's become more... connecting people together in a way of, like, doing other ways. And, like...
it's bringing
obviously the control of Facebook is quite a big section
yeah.
of trying to keep everyone's profiles and stuff to minimal. And
so two questions there. First one, would you say, as Tim Berners-Lee said that he wanted the World Wide Web to be for everyone, would you say that social medias has, in general, been helping to accomplish that goal?
I agree and disagree.
Do tell.
I agree that it's got more people involved on the internet.
Yeah.
There's more discussions to be had via social platforms and things like that. But it's also taken away from what I know as the web, which is blogs and things like that. And physical web, well, not physical web pages because it's data, but having your own space on the internet, which is what it was. It's now that kind of thing is now left for companies and corporations, I feel. Whereas for personal use, it is all about social media.
It's like globalization of the internet, of the web, actually, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We started from like small businesses, and it just clump up.
So do you think it's helped then in the terms of?
I think it helps.
What about you?
I agree quite a lot on that. When people say, I want to go on social media, obviously they go to the website, sign up, and then they've become a part of this social media and the internet.
Yeah.
So it's helped a lot of people come together in one place.
Yeah. So, second question. As social medias have gotten bigger, and I think YouTube is probably a good example of things, having to change or forced to change over circumstances, do you think that if social medias hadn't got so big, we wouldn't have seen the likes of trolls and fake news? And would you think if they hadn't got so big, online wouldn't be so as divisive?
I think online always has the potential to be divisive, whether there's a social media or not. And I think trolls are always going to be there in some way form or another.
You want to eliminate stupidity by amount of people.
I'm trying to think what it was. I was watching a program a few weeks ago. I think it was on Netflix of all things, where they were joking about an internet license. So you couldn't go on the internet without this internet license.
That's a BBC idea, that.
Which, in a way, it's got its merits and its disadvantages. And if you're a troll and you start trolling people randomly without good cause or whatever, you get your license taken off, you're not allowed to access the internet for 12 months. It might stop some people, but I don't think it'll stop all of them. I think the internet was going to grow exponentially anyway when people realised the uses that it can be put through. Because look at it, at the minute, we can send money from one place to the other instantly. We can communicate for free via message, chat.
Yeah.
Phone calls, video calls, the lot, all for free because it's this worldwide thing. The only thing you pay is your internet connection fee, which is quite nuts when you think about it. Everybody pays around £30 a month and they've got access to this treasure trove of information, online libraries, and I do wonder at times, where we have no evidence of it, is the online library that we have of the internet, is the internet or the World Wide Web. Is it as big as the Alexandra Library that burnt down many, many thousands of years ago?
I think it's way bigger because everyone can add something to it.
Mm.
Everyone can have, like you said, everyone can start a blog. Everyone can post on Facebook, on Twitter.
So, basically same question to you, though. Do you think it would have been so divisive and would have produced trolls if it wouldn't have got so big, or what? I'm interested.
No, I think people would still troll it eventually, no matter what, no matter how big the internet. I guess it's a bit more satisfying for people who are like trolling that they control more people, you know. I think that's the goal, really, but even if they would troll one person, that they would still be people like that.
Smith?
Yeah, the trolls bit, I think they'll just carry on, even if it wasn't around, it'll still be there. And that's about it.
Because only half the world at the moment is connected to the internet.
Yeah.
Over the next 5 to 10 years, that's looking to encompass the whole of the world, according to a TED Talk I was watching about a week ago. TED Talk's absolutely fantastic, go listen to it. Through the rise of technology, space technologies, satellites and things like that, looking at Starlink from Elon Musk, OneWeb, all that type of thing. How do you feel that's going to impact the world?
What, the world getting more connected?
Yeah, so at the minute we've got half the world, which is what, 3.5
billion people.
So in the 5-10 years, you're looking at least 7, maybe up to 10 billion people all having access to the same information and able to communicate with each other. How do you feel that's going to affect the world?
I think that you're going to have, obviously, I think those more, third world countries, if is that even the correct term?
Probably not.
Probably not. But you get what I mean. Yeah. I think those sort of countries are going to get a like massive boost or try and be more on level than they are currently now. And I think, is it like India is one of the world's biggest countries now that isn't fully interneted?
I think it's one of the biggest internet users, though, at the same time.
Mm. Well, I definitely think that likes of India and China and... there was another one that I can't remember of. But I think especially those two, I think they're going to be the two dominant superpowers within the next 50 years.
In terms of the internet.
Yeah, because of the amount of information they can get available. Because they've, let's face it, they've got the population to do massive, massive things. They've got the bases for population, economy. Build better infrastructure and everything, and get a good internet, and then give it to everybody, then I can't see any reason why countries like China and India wouldn't start to boom. I know China already has boomed. I know India's on the verge of a boom, but I don't think it's a technological boom yet, is it? But I think, yeah, they'll probably overtake quite a few countries in Europe and probably the US as well. I think in the next 50 years is... I think the US might be struggling to keep its superpower status alive.
How about you, Chris? What do you think?
With the, obviously, countries getting to the step, I don't think it'll make much of an impact within adding the extra people on.
Mm-hmm. How about you,
Matt? I'm a fan of science fiction. I remember this book, which I can't really recall the title, but there was this network when people died, the brains or soul or whatever, the thoughts were uploaded to like common network. And that's how I see internet in the future, really. When everyone are connected, it could be like a collective brain for the civilization, really. But in order to get there, we would have to figure out how to control and steer the internet into the right way, because the, like I said before, there are plenty of forces who want a bit for them, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily the best way to use the internet, really, right, to monetize it, mm-hmm. and such. But for the end, I would just like to ask you all a question. How do you imagine worlds without internet? Let's imagine there's no internet now.
So if we were going to take the world without internet now, I personally think, I don't know about you lot, I think it'd be a lot friendlier of a place. I think the rise of social media is, because everybody can now post and crap talk, and everybody's got it like that, haven't they? So I think everybody can, they've got quick access to it, so everybody's saying this, that and the other. And I think if you didn't have it, I don't think the world would be as inflamed as it was. I think a lot of people now are quick to argue and get no consequence because it's over the internet and it's not face to face. And I think there'd be a hell of a lot more consequences if you said something and they didn't like it and it was face to face rather than over the internet, because most people will stay anonymous over the internet, can't they? So I think it'd be a better world. I think it obviously would probably be far less advanced than we currently are, but I think it'd be a friendlier place.
Personally, I would miss having social media. You're
obviously addicted.
I'd miss it too much. I would have to go out and go outside.
You get used to it,
right?
You get used to it a lot, and you just...
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
I mean, it would just be like being a kid again, wouldn't it?
Well, especially for us too.
Yeah. I mean, it'd just be a lot of outside and playing, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
I think for me, I can't see it, personally, because since the... early 90s, we've become as a society quite dependent on the internet.
Yeah, well, at least in the West we have, yeah.
It's even scary how dependent are we.
Yeah, I think if some country somewhere else decided to cut our fibre lines, I think the whole of the UK would collapse within minutes, because we are reliant. Our data comes that for trading from all around the world, comes over those fibre cables. We send money over those cables from friend to friend and family. Banking wouldn't be what it is today. It would be back to the days of you have a checkbook and a stamp and that's it. I don't think we'd, if we hadn't had it already, I think we'd be fine. If, like, tomorrow the internet got shut down, I think the world might just end.
I think one thing that does worry me about this whole idea is the lack of, like, paper back trails anymore. Because you don't really see it anymore, you know, because I'm pretty sure we can all do banking on a phone.
Right.
And it's only been, like, last 2 years I've actually probably switched from going into banking and doing online banking. But I think it actually, when you think about it, the lack of contingency plans to say if the internet just disappeared, it's actually quite worrying, because we don't have all modern records are right there, but all modern records, they're online, they're saved on backups online. There's no like real paper trails or anything, so you could lose quite a bit of information if it just went down tomorrow.
Because that thought terrified me. I read an article yesterday, I think it was, about the sun.
Yeah,
it has these solar flares and things like that.
It happened once.
It's 19th century. Yeah.
And it actually fried the telegraphic lines.
Yeah, which was the only thing that was basically electric at that point. Whereas if it did it now,
everything
would be gone. It's a terrifying
blackout.
Thought.
Blackout.
It'd be like having a nuke go off overhead, wiping it out, but it's planet wide rather than just a small island that we are in Britain. And it's a terrifying thought, really. Because I live through in Britainton rather than through here. And just without that internet, I would not be able to get the train.
No.
Because the whole train network runs via the fibre optic cables that run down its track.
Yeah.
Those things like that.
Even
just
things like that, then that's okay, because we can get trains out and we can modify trains to go back to steam-powered and solar-powered and wind.
I'll give you an example. I used to work in a company that where all the production lines were dependent on the network. So whatever product was supposed to be produced, it was communicated through the network. And I remember one day something happened to the network and just didn't pass any information. What happened? Factory stopped.
Yeah. Everything now relies on networking and computers, and it's just terrible. Are we too dependent?
Yes. Simply yes.
Never ramble on that.
No, we are, because I know I do it, and I'm not a social media person. I check my phone like a billion times a day. And I'm not on social media, so how many times do you think he checks it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's on social media.
Yeah.
Just constantly in front of me. Constantly.
What else do we rely on? Well, if we need something, we don't look in a thesaurus or an atlas anymore, we go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
If we need banking, majority of the Western world at least goes online.
Yeah.
Food, well, everything that's refrigerated, we couldn't have
stuff online.
Yeah, if stuff like that. So when science, we're going to get rid of the internet and say the power's going to go at the same time, i.e. just as a thing, then refrigerators are gone, which means also, but then, yeah, it's a completely different story. But just to keep it online, then how many people here do online shopping?
That could be an upside, though, to having no internet, no Amazon.
No, that could be, because the amount of endless crap you could stop buying would be, save you a ton of money.
I think that as well. Amazon pretty much powers most of the internet. It's between Amazon, Microsoft, and Google.
Yeah.
Which leads me to another question I just thought of, actually. When you've got companies like that, I think there's another Tencent in China, they do a similar thing. But between four or five companies, they own pretty much the internet and the resources that power it. Should there be something done to stop that?
Could you stop it?
I don't know if you could, but should there be?
Probably, because you can't get. I think there was that case in America of that TV station that was wanting to take over another multi-million-dollar TV station that wasn't allowed because it would have been too big. The same in the UK that, was it Sky wanting to take over Fox or Fox overtaking Sky? and they weren't allowed to do it because it would have just made a monopoly.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, it probably should be stopped, because I think if you get a monopoly, then they can charge whatever they want, and they can do what they want, because there's nobody there to stop them. But then, even if you get government intervention saying, well, you can't do that, well, they'll just go, well, bugger off, yeah, take it somewhere else.
Because there's a senator in America just now, isn't there, that's turned around and gone, any company that, excuse the American accent I actually went into, that, any company that makes over $25 billion should be split up. And she's turned around.
That's
right.
A
so that's
lot of companies,
Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft. All these companies should be split up. So, for instance, Amazon couldn't sell their own products on their own store.
Well, that's Amazon Bus then.
Yeah, that's Amazon Bus. The same with Apple with their iOS stores. They're not allowed to sell their own products on there, so you wouldn't be able to use the calendar apps, things like that, on an iPhone.
But then...
Is that taking that too far?
That is taking that too far, but then they could split themselves up, but even then they could make themselves like little companies all in an umbrella company, couldn't they?
That,
which would technically still be legal.
My other thought on that was that they could just move up to another country. So if America's gone, oh, you need to split up, they could just go...
We're no longer an American
company.
No,
we're just going to move to Ireland.
Yeah.
They have no tax. And we can still run our stuff from there and have our bases, and we can still have offices here in America. I don't think Apple will, because they've just spent God knows how many billions on their spaceship, but...
Apple have built a spaceship?
Well, it's their spaceship headquarters. Oh. The big donut thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you for watching, listening, or anything else you've been doing. Don't forget you can find out more information about us, the Media Labs, at medialabs.uk. We've got a conference coming up on the 17th of May 2019, which is this year. I don't know why I said that. So that's at Parkway Cinema in Beverley. For more details, head to the website. You can register for tickets there. It is a free event. Yeah.
Socials.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we're on the socials. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that lot. Find us there. That's so fun. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. We'll be right back.